Good morning, everybody. This meeting is being recorded. It's 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday, January 23rd. Dr. Bustillo is going to be administering today's meeting. Dr. King, the board's president, is currently in transit, so to ensure a seamless meeting, Dr. Bustillo is taking the honors. So after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of the board members and staff and proceed with the reading of the board's mission statement.
Great. I'd like to call the January 23rd, 2024 meeting of the State Board of Physical Therapy to order.
Thank you. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Present.
Mr. Leone?
Present.
Mr. Greer? Let the record show Mr. Greer is not yet in attendance, but we do expect him. Mr. Barton? Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Sinish?
Here.
And my name is Judy Chepius. Dr. Bustillo, the meeting's yours.
Great. Can we start with Mr. Leone reading the mission statement, please?
Yep. The mission of the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy is to protect the public from the incompetent, unprofessional, and unlawful practice of physical therapy. The Arizona Physical Therapy Practice Act establishes the standards for the practice of physical therapy, continuing competence and testing, and defines the scope and limitations of practice. The board licenses and certifies qualified applicants as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants, and receives, investigates, and adjudicates complaints against licensees and certificate holders.
Great, thank you. All right, the first item on our agenda today is minutes review from December 2nd, 2023. Does anyone have any corrections or additions to the minutes?
Just a correction, Dr. Bustillo, for the record. Those are minutes from December 12th.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would move to accept the minutes from December 12th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the December 12th, 2023 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. So now we're down to number four. No items under A and B. And for C, review, consideration, and possible action regarding educational equivalence for option to license for Michael Capo. Monica, provide some background.
Oh.
No,
we have...
I can do this.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was not prepared.
That's okay. Michael Capo is a foreign educated physical therapist who graduated from a program that is not U.S. accredited by the Commission on Accreditation of Physical Therapy Education. Mr. Capo's foreign education was found to be substantially equivalent through educational credentialing. And the board staff is requesting a review of the credentialing evaluation in light of the requirements in statute and rule. The information was provided for your review with respect to his credentialing, and the board is now requested to make decisions regarding confirming his substantial equivalence to education and whether or not to license or to require a supervised clinical practice period, as well as determination to sit for the NPTE or DAISY law exam as applicable.
Is Mr. Capo on the call? Okay. Does anyone have any thoughts or ideas about this?
Everything looked to be, like they said, equivalent and, you know, in order. So I would be okay with doing a supervised clinical practice.
Yeah. He's been practicing for 11 years, and I feel like a lot of the methods of education and practice are very similar in Australia. So I'm actually okay with not requiring a supervised clinical practice period, but allowing him to move forward with examination.
Yeah, it also looks like he passed the NPTE in New York, so I don't know if he's practiced a little bit in New York. I didn't see that in the record, but
he has not.
Okay. So that would seem to suggest to me as well that, you know, even the supervised practice portion may not be necessary if he's already started that licensure process elsewhere in the United States as well. So
that was the only reason I was thinking about it, but if Australia tends to practice pretty similarly, then I would have no issues with proceeding.
I will defer to Dr. Bustillo on that assessment, but if she says yes, I believe her.
I haven't practiced in Australia, but from what I've heard.
Yes. I would, so then Dr. Bustillo, am I correct in reading that as a motion that we license him to practice and authorize him to sit for the NPTE?
Yes.
Or the Arizona law? Okay. I would second that motion.
And the first was Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. And for the record, Mr. Greer has joined.
Correct. Okay. Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded to approve exam eligibility for Michael Capo, and based on passing that exam as well as completing his application, approve him for licensure. Dr. King?
Yes.
Excuse me, I suppose I should say that you've also waived the requirement for a supervised clinical practice period.
Yes.
My apologies. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer is present. Mr. Greer?
I will abstain because I did not participate in the entire discussion.
Thank you. Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, so now we are on to review, consideration, possible action for approving a supervised clinical practice period for our minor Augusto Santa Maria Alfaro.
Yeah, so Mr. Alfaro was found to be substantially equivalent at the board's July 2023 meeting and was issued a supervised clinical practice period. Mr. Alfaro has submitted an agreement for a supervised clinical practice period to be approved. The primary supervisor is Casey Lighting and the secondary supervisor is Michael Gibbons. The facility is Foothill Sports Medicine. And the board is now requested to determine whether to approve the facility and primary secondary supervisors.
Well, I feel that the people that he has submitted are a good fit for him and his background. And so I would move to accept his place of employment and supervisors for a supervised clinical practice period.
Second.
Any discussion?
Who did the second?
Giovanni.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, we can call the question.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the supervised clinical practice period facility and supervising physical therapist proposed by Minor Augusto Santa Maria Alfaro. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, we're moving on to review, consideration, and possible action regarding the completed supervised clinical practice period for Niels Christian Barrera.
On August 22nd, 2023, the board determined that Niels Christian Barrera should complete a supervised clinical practice period. Attached in your board materials was the completion information about that practice period. The board must now determine whether to approve licensure or to issue additional supervised clinical practice.
It appears to me that he passed everything satisfactorily. There weren't any areas of concern. And so I would move that we move forward with licensing this person.
Second.
Any other discussion? Okay, let's call the question.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the supervised clinical practice information and license Niels Christian Barrera as a physical therapist. Dr. King. Dr.
Yes.
King, muted. Thank you. Dr. Bastia.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, we are down to our consent agenda. There's only one case on the consent agenda for application recommended for approval of physical therapist licensure upon completion of application, including transcripts and passage of the MPT and AZ law. Are there any concerns or questions about the person?
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Any further discussion? Okay, I think we can move forward.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda items consisting of agenda item 5A. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. So there are no administrative hearings, and we are down to number 7 for informal hearings.
Yes, and we the informal hearing is scheduled for 9 o'clock, so we might want to re-agendize. If you'll give me just a moment, Dr. Bastille, I do know that there are some people that joined the meeting that have already been voted on. So if you were part of an agenda item up through and including agenda item 5, your matter has been already adjudicated. Mr. Barton, there's some background noise in you.
I apologize. Let me mute here.
Thank you. So if I apologize, if you were on the agenda for any of the foreign educated items or the consent agenda, your matter has already been approved. And you're welcome to hang out for the rest of the meeting, but you don't have to. Okay, Dr. Bastia, would you like to reorder the agenda at this time?
Yes, let's see if we can get a few other things worked on here. Is there...
I could make a recommendation about a couple of initial reviews you might consider.
Okay.
You might look at item 9F,
okay.
Case 2370, Warren Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And 2362, 9C, Brandon Poulter. Mr. Poulter is present, or Dr. Poulter is present. Dr. Lee told me that he would not be present today.
Not be coming. Okay. All right. So for the initial reviews, there's a script I do need to read for that. So we'll go ahead and do that and try to take care of those two. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review of complaints. There are six cases for the board to consider. The matters will be heard by the board pursuant to its authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I will provide a brief summary on how the board conducts initial reviews. The summary applies to all cases that we will hear today, and I will not repeat it for each case. I will first begin with introductions. My name is Dr. Bustillo, and I am the board's chairperson. I will now ask the other board members to introduce themselves.
Kelly King, professional member, board chair.
Giovanni Leone, professional member, board secretary.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
For those participating in the initial reviews, please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. If at any time it is necessary to refer to patients, please use initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary of the investigative report from the staff. Once staff is done, the board will ask the complainant, if present, if they wish to address the board, and then the board will ask the professional if they would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask those speaking not to take time to repeat information that the board has already received. You will be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or place for the complainant and the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy prohibiting the use of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy after being given an opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting room. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing cases amongst ourselves and request that you do not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary action such as issuing an advisory letter or order for continuing education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remand the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speak at a time. Lastly, as a reminder to the board, this is not an informal hearing. If you have a few questions that will help you better understand the case and take action to potentially resolve the case through dismissal, non-disciplinary action, or consent agreement, or for either disciplinary or non-disciplinary action, please feel free to ask them. However, if you have a number of substantive questions and or feel that the case requires additional investigation, it may be more appropriate to move the case to an informal hearing. So let's look first, because he's with us, at case 2262, Brandon Poulter.
Brief summary of the case. The board opened case 2362 after we received the notice of medical malpractice payment report from the MPDB involving Dr. Poulter. A settlement was processed on April 17th of 2023. And it was alleged that a patient injury occurred on January 6th of 2020 from improper treatment of the hip by Dr. Poulter. Dr. Poulter renewed his Arizona license for the 2022-24 period and answered yes to the question, have you had medical malpractice judgment against you, or do you have a lawsuit currently pending for the malpractice? The board reviewed this complaint as a preliminary matter at the June 27th, 2023 meeting and voted to open a case. Dr. Poulter received a draft of the investigative report but did not provide a supplemental response. Board staff identified the potential violations for the board to consider as ARS 32-2044 engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to deliberate or negligent act or failure to act regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. This case is for your review.
Dr. Poulter, you are on the line?
That's correct. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Is there anything that you would like to say to the board?
Only thing I would, I guess, just to preface with the start, I'm very new to these matters. I think I sent in an initial report after I first learned about the case. And then it was my understanding it was just waiting for this initial review. So I'm here and ready to answer any questions or help whatever way I can.
Great. Thank you.
Dr. Bastillo, may I interject?
Yeah.
The board staff has received a recusal form from Mr. Leone for this matter. So I just wanted to make sure the record reflected that Mr. Leone is recused.
Great. Thank you very much. I just want to ask a clarifying question, Dr. Poulter, is that the patient's surgery was a supra-path total hip replacement?
That is correct. And I have some, I can speak more on that right now or later if you'd like.
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and tell us more about that?
One of the, I think, difficulties that I've had in following up and dealing with this case is that, as noted, the incident itself happened over 4 years ago.
Right.
And with my understanding of how these legal matters proceed, I was named on the suit brought against the clinic. So long story short, I have not received much documentation up to this point until my interview recently with Mindy Richardson, Dr. Richardson. So to the best of my recollection, when I provided my initial response, I believe it was in July of this year, I had provided a response to the best of my recollection, but after visiting with her and the interview with her and being able to review the documentation a little bit further in more detail that she was able to provide me, it was then that I was able to recall that it was indeed a supra-path procedure. Up to that point, to the best of my memory, I had just remembered it as a standard total hip arthroplasty.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions for Dr. Poulter?
Dr. Poulter, this is Joshua Greer, and one thing, I don't want to know anything that you talked about solely with your attorney, but why did you decide to settle this case?
That's not something I really know that I can speak to much. Beyond that was mostly settled between the complainant and I believe the company's insurance. So I was not directly involved in the entire process. I would get occasional phone calls, with minimal updates at best, including that the case had been settled at some point.
That's what I expected to hear, Dr. Poulter. And so I just wanted to clarify that you weren't the one directing the defense and that's why it was settled. So thank you for that.
That's correct. Yeah.
Dr. Bastillo, if no one else has any comments, I'd like to move to dismiss this case.
I'll second that. Any other thoughts or concerns? Okay, I think we can call that question, Judy.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2362, Brandon Poulter, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Thank you. That motion passes.
And it does look like we should have some time to be able to do letter F, case 2370, Warren Lee, PT. You're this muted.
This is Brandon Poulter again. Can I make one comment?
Sure.
I just wanted to say thank you to you all. This process has been very thorough and professional, and I appreciate the board's attention to all these matters. Been very impressive moving to Arizona to see how this is all done. So thank you all for all your help and diligence with this matter.
Thank you very much. Mindy?
Okay. This is a briefing for case 2370, Warren Lee, PT. Patient VB alleged that Dr. Lee spoke to her about her injury and disability and financial responsibilities in an unethical and condescending manner and in front of other patients. Dr. Lee received a copy of the draft investigative report and offered a further clarification that was included in your report. Board staff identified the following possible statute violations that might apply: ARS 3224412, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession, and as it relates to Principle 2.3.A, information relating to the physical therapist-patient relationship is confidential and may not be communicated to a third party not involved in that patient's care without the prior consent of the patient. This case is for your review. And I don't believe, Dr. Lee said he would not be in attendance, and I did not hear back from the complainant.
I believe the complainant is on the call.
Oh.
Would the person that made the complaint like to make a statement?
An individual has raised a hand. Ma'am, you can unmute your line and speak freely to the board.
Hi, I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute my line. This is Veronica. It's the only thing I wanted to add is when the whole incident happened, I was going through an injury attorney, and I had to call the after hours phone number with the speak to someone with the attorney's office, and I had them on the phone while all this was going on. I felt very embarrassed and intimidated. I couldn't believe that this was going on and that he was freely putting my information out there as patients were working in the physical therapy area. People were coming in and out. This was my third visit. So the first and second visit were fine. Nothing was ever said to me about anything prior to making the very first appointment. I notified the physical therapy place that I was going through an injury lawyer, and they were fine with it. So I don't know what Mr. Lee's position is there, because even the assistant that I was speaking to on the phone, when she overheard him, she asked me, is he the owner? Is he a manager? She says, what is his position? What gives him the right to be saying those things and telling you that you can't be seen? So I never found out what his position was there, other than physical therapist.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, not at this moment.
Would you be willing to answer some questions from members of the board?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. Just have anyone? Go ahead.
Ms. V, we're going to use your initials for your privacy. Okay. Ms. VB, and I don't want to cause any more embarrassment, but what exactly did the physical therapist say? I know you've kind of, I have a general description, but you don't have to tell me, you know, exactly what personal information was shared, but the type of personal information that was shared that you thought was inappropriate.
Well, other than saying that I couldn't be seen without my insurance, even after I explained to him that the attorney was in charge, he was asking me, and he said that out loud, what the reason was that I had. He wanted me to tell him the reason, what caused the injury that I had, is what he, in so many words, without having to tell you everything. He was asking me in front of everybody, what was the reason? Was it due to a fall? Was it due to an accident and stuff like that? He was also condescending. He was on the phone with someone and he was asking me outright. He says, well, how do we know? Or do you know if the case is going to be settled? And this is stuff that I wasn't supposed to be talking to him about, because even the attorney said that he shouldn't have been asking me those questions. He was asking me, how do you know the case is going to be settled? How do you know that the attorney's going to pay? And these were things that I couldn't answer legally. And also because I didn't know. I mean, that was not my place to answer, but it was like he put all my information out there for all the other patients that were there to know what was going on with me and my injury. And that was what really upset me. I mean, I couldn't believe that the way he was talking to me, and he had like a smile on his face, like he was kind of laughing, you know, I just thought it was very unethical the way he was acting. I've never been to a place that has to do with anything medical or professional where they were so unprofessional, with the way he was acting towards me. And he was like sitting towards the middle of the physical therapy, because the front, counter, the reception counter is open. It's like an open room and it's open to where everybody's out there working out and stuff. And he was sitting like almost to the middle on a chair talking to somebody on the phone. And I don't know who he was talking to the phone, asking me all these questions and yelling them out for everyone to hear. I felt that was very unethical and inappropriate. I felt that he should have maybe, you know, called me into a room and talked to me and asked me these questions. I mean, I didn't feel that the people around or the other patients or anyone else should have known what was going on with me and what I was there for.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, I can understand how that could be distressing. Have you had a chance to review the doctor's response?
No, that never got sent to me.
That's fine. The doctor alleges that they were asking you to sign a notice of financial responsibility. Do you remember that being part of the issue?
Yes, that's what started it all. They wanted me to sign a document of financial responsibility, and I explained to them that the attorney was in charge of all this, and that even when I called the attorney on the phone, they told me, tell them, you know, that they're going to get paid either way, you know, and he wasn't accepting that. But what I couldn't understand is this was my third visit. None of this was asked of me the first and second visits that I was there. So I wasn't understanding why they were asking me this. Eventually, my insurance did pay. I did call the main company, and I did pay for those two visits with my insurance. So it wasn't like they didn't get paid or anything. But I couldn't understand why he was acting so unprofessional in reference to it.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions.
You're welcome.
I'll piggyback on that just a little bit. Ms. VB, when you had your first visit, mm-hmm. was it understood that you were going to be going through an attorney, or that this was going to be a lien situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And before I even made the appointment, I made that very clear. And when I went in there, and the girl that had me fill out all the paperwork, she was aware that it was going to be a lien situation.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions?
Ms. VB, Is there a reason why you didn't want to sign the financial responsibility form?
Because the attorney was, it was all part of what the attorney was going to pay off. I had been to other medical professionals and I did not have to use my medical information, my insurance documents. It was all going to be paid off by, you know, by the settlement. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason. Wasn't the reason that I didn't have it, but this was a different situation and this was being included in a settlement.
Did they explain anything to you about it being a required document or anything like that when they presented it to you for you to receive treatment?
No. The first day that I went there, I filled out all my paperwork. The girl at the front desk knew that this was through an attorney. She never mentioned or asked me for my medical documentation or anything.
Okay. Thank you.
My insurance card, sorry.
Any other questions? Okay. So what are the thoughts of the board?
This is Joshua Greer. It seems to be more of a fit issue than any unprofessional conduct. I'm vacillating between dismissal and perhaps an advisory letter saying that sensitive conversations with patients should occur in private. I could go either way.
Yeah, I would probably lean more towards the letter. You know, just to advise them on, you know, how to properly handle those type of situations in the future.
Is that a motion?
This is Mr. Barton. If we're waiting on a motion, I'll wait.
No, go ahead, Josh.
I'm actually leaning more towards dismissal. I think this is a relatively, I agree with you. This is not something that I think rises to the level of conduct that we need to be sticking our fingers in. That would be my perspective.
And the only reason why I'm thinking an advisory letter would be appropriate is, you know, financial conversations, you know, regardless of how much or how little, probably should be in an area where you pull the patient aside and have that conversation separately. So, you know, even though it doesn't sound like there was, you know, PHI necessarily that was out in front of in the open with everybody that was in the clinic, you know, just discussing somebody's financial situation, I think probably needs to be in a more separate area. So I would move to issue an advisory letter.
I'll second.
Dr. King, do you have any thoughts?
I think that clearly the patient's perspective of the conversation and it being public and embarrassing, I'm sure, and feeling like her, some of her HIPAA information might be compromised, was hard, but it sounds like this practice may have the opportunity to shore up how they have those sensitive conversations. But I agree with Mr. Barton, honestly, that it doesn't really rise to removing interaction from the board.
Yeah. Yeah, my initial thought as well was to dismiss. So we can vote on this and see where we go.
Are you ready for the question?
Yeah, that sounds good, Judy.
Okay.
Please correct me if I'm misstating this motion. So it's been moved and seconded to issue an advisory letter to Mr. Lee. The letter should advise Mr. Lee regarding discussions about sensitive financial topics and privacy concerns. Is that an accurate statement?
I would say yes.
Thank you. Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Basile?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Mr. Barton?
No.
The motion fails.
I move that we dismiss this complaint.
Second. Any other thoughts? Okay, let's call that question.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss complaint 2370, Warren Lee. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
No.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
All right, so we are past the 9 o'clock hour. So we should go back to number seven here, our informal hearings. Are we good on the recording, Judy, or do you need to restart it?
Let's go ahead and restart it at this time.
Okay.
One moment, please. The recording will stop at 9:12.